Hi, everybody. This is Pam coming to you from the podcast Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. And you can find that as a free download on iTunes. And it's also directly accessed with the blog Make Room for the Stuttering. Today, as always, I have the privilege and the delight to chat with yet another amazing woman, somebody that I actually met here in my hometown a couple years ago. So I want to say hi to Darlene. Hey, how are you?
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good. Can you take a minute to introduce yourself and tell us where you're from and what you do?
Sure. My name is Darlene, and I'm from Buffalo, New York. My family now resides near Albany, New York. And I live in Belleville, Maryland.
I am recently married.
Congratulations.
A few years ago. Oh, thank you. A few years ago, actually. And I'm a speech therapist.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So, so what made you decide to be a speech therapist?
Well, being someone who stutters, and I had a previous background in psychology before, I was always really, really kind of interested in language and the brain, you know, and everything. And one day I just met with the right set of people that were like, why don't you become a speech therapist? Like, I said, who? Me? You do realize I stutter, right? And they're like, yeah, there's lots of people who stutter that are therapists. I said, oh okay, well, I'll look into it. So around the same time, I was also seeking speech therapy for the first time myself.
Oh.
So between being a client and all already having interest and, you know, the language and neurology and stuff like that, I was drawn to the field that way.
Okay. So you didn't start seeking therapy until you were older then?
Right. Not actively. Not anything that was consistent. When I was younger, I had therapy in short spurts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe once in the seventh grade and once, like, in high school. I tried maybe one time in college, too, but I really wasn't serious about it until after college when I was an adult.
I see. And so what was it like for you growing up as a kid stuttering? I mean, was your family pretty supportive?
My family didn't understand as much as maybe they do now.
Okay.
So, I feel like that they did the best that they could, but a part of my growth process has also been kind of educating those around me to find out ways in which they could be more supportive towards me, things like that. But when I was younger, I had more of a covert pattern. So I would have extended periods of stuttering. I'm sorry, of fluency that sort of made me look as though I was normal, or I was not a stutterer, I should say.
Okay.
So growing up, I would usually opt to avoid situations that would result in a lot of stuttering because it would make me feel uncomfortable. And
I have a tendency sometimes to interrupt because it's like it's hard to tell when two stutterers are talking when we're actually finished or if it's a block, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I was just getting ready to say, yeah, I can relate to that because I was extremely covert myself as a kid and as a teenager and even as a young adult. So not to totally have broken your chain of thought, but do you consider yourself more overt now as an adult?
I do. But I also recognize, and also being a speech therapist, and I studied with a lot of really, really great minds in fluency. I understand my background, and I don't ignore it at all, and understand that I once opted to hide. So those same thoughts and feelings don't just kind of disappear at all. It's something that I have to work at actively.
Now, when you say work at yeah, it does. But I guess I want to maybe have you clarify that a little bit more. Like, when you say work at actively, like, is it like these thoughts come to you often and you have to, like, remind yourself? Or what do you exactly mean by working actively?
Well, they're not necessarily thoughts that come to me often, but sometimes I have to sit and think. Like, for example, when I'm approached with a new life task or new situation, I have to think about, okay, what was my immediate reaction to that challenge? Sometimes it's like, oh crap, I can't do this. I can't do this. Oh no. You see what I mean, maybe?
Yeah.
And I have to actively say, okay, why? Why is it that I don't want to do this? Not want to do this because of fluency or because of other reasons? And it's something I have to really sit and think about and be like, is it fluency related or is it not fluency related? because as I get older, I'm just finding that there is more challenges and things out there that are not fluency related that will be hard for anyone in general, but I have to think for myself more so.
Yeah,
that's sort of what I mean by active.
Yeah, that makes sense. and it almost sounds like you have like a regular like self-talk dialogue with yourself.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I want to also just ask you about something that you just mentioned. You mentioned the word fluency a couple of times. And because I don't often get to talk to women who stutter who are also SLPs. No.
Yeah.
This is a good question. What does fluency mean for you?
Well, for me, fluency encompasses a realm of different speech sound differences. If I was thinking about it technically, you know, work-wise, so, you know, one can become specialized in the area of fluency, okay? And that would encompass stuttering, it would encompass cluttering, I'm sorry, that's, Hubby's phone in the background. Let me just close the door.
Not a problem. It makes it real.
Okay. But as a who stutters, you can almost think about it as okay. So fluency is something you have or you don't have. Sometimes you can be disfluent, which equates stuttering, basically. People who are fluent do not stutter, you know. So basically that's all fluency means to me. It's sort of like a subject area. Or so. Anything else?
Yeah, I was just curious because of the way that you used it. If it meant to you like fluency is not stuttering, or fluency means like smoother speech, or I was just curious because you use the word, and most of the time when I'm talking to women who stutter who aren't in the field, they just don't use the word. So I was just kind of intrigued by it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, like in school, we take a class that's called fluency disorders, basically. So, yeah.
So I guess that made sense that you kind of clarified that. It's actually like a topic or a subject that you guys actually refer to, whereas somebody like me who just stutters and is not an expert or a professional in the field, I kind of view fluency as like not stuttering, and you kind of see it as more technical, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, I want to piggyback on something else that you had mentioned. I had asked you about, you know, what was it like with your family when you were growing up, and you indicated that they didn't understand then as much as they do now. I just want to mention that I was always so impressed when we had met up in Albany at the fluency program that we were both a part of. I was so impressed that time that your parents came to, you know, like observe the group meeting.
Yeah.
I just felt like, wow, like how cool is that to so involve your family as to invite them to see what you're doing. And How was that for you? Was that your idea or theirs?
It was my request, right? And they went along with it, which was great, which is absolutely great. I feel like at that time, I just was at a place where I really wanted as much support as possible. And I didn't know a lot of people there and knew, I mostly spoke to my parents while I was there. So I wanted to kind of bring them in just to see exactly what we did. Quincy Council.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, I work with a lot of families too in the field. They see stuttering or not stuttering. Okay, so they see are you repeating words or are you fluent? Basically, and they don't think about all the other things that go into stuttering, like your thoughts about it, your feelings, how we have certain anxieties about speaking, about certain situations and different things like that. And they don't think about how those issues really prevail in our life. So I wanted to bring them in just to kind of hear from other people. And them to hear from me and to hear from other people as well about all the other stuff that goes into stuttering, not just repeating sounds or prolonging sounds or getting stuck in a block or anything like that. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And to know that it wasn't just me, but it's just the population in general.
Yeah, so...
And I think that they really got that day, too, which is good.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
So, like, that was part of the process that you mentioned, like, you taking the direction in educating other people how they should react to you and your stuttering? Is that kind of what you
mean? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Because it's a matter of, you know, especially being an adult in therapy, you have to do all the things you need to do to help yourself
mm-hmm.
in therapy. It's not like when we're younger and we're relying on parental input or anything else. We really have to design ways in which we can kind of help ourselves too.
Oh, I love the way you put that.
Yeah, that's why you see a lot of books around self-help. I mean, in self-therapy for the stutterer and things like that, because yes, we can go to a speech therapist or we can go to a speech group and things like that to work actively on speech. But then outside of that setting, we really have to set up our support system to work actively on our own. That's why things like NSA are great. And things like the conference year to year are great.
Yeah. So do you employ these same strategies with the clients that you work with? Like try to
Absolutely.
Encourage them? So you encourage mm-hmm. them to like involve the whole family and to have people realize that it's not just what comes out of your mouth, but it's everything else?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? I mean, do you have families come in as well as the client, or I mean, what approach do you use that works well?
Well, I do always have an open invite into my sessions, period, always, just because of where I work and things like that. But I leave it up to the client if they're ready to bring in their family. Sometimes the client, especially if they're older, teenage kids, young adults, things like that, know that they would probably benefit from that, but are not ready to invite their parents in for whatever reasons. And that's completely fine, and I respect that approach. Usually when kids are younger, like very, very young, I'll start by bringing the family in just so that we all are on the same page about stuttering in general. And what stuttering is and what stuttering is not, and things that are helpful to say to kids and things that are not helpful to say to kids, like, slow down, take a breath. Think about what you're going to say.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yes, I can remember that stuff.
And you still hear it, which is the funny.
You still hear it as adults, and it is. It's just totally amazing. It's like, don't they think if we thought that that would work, that we would have already done that?
Done that, right.
Exactly. I think I just kind of lost. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I for a moment lost my train of thought because we were like laughing at that same thing. Are you in therapy now?
Not in group therapy the way I would like to be. No, I'm not. My work schedule is crazy.
Oh.
I also work very far away from home, so I'm either driving to work or at work.
Oh.
Literally for all day. I know.
That stinks.
It does stink. So that leaves very little time to do group therapy the way I would really want to be. And I can definitely feel and hear a difference and things like that, but yeah.
Do you find that a lot of SLPs who stutter also maintain involvement in therapy themselves? I mean, is that fairly common?
A lot of the ones I know.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to think about the ones I know. I know from NSA, and NSA is all about, you know, helping yourself and seeking help and, you know, and just being supportive and seeking support, you know what I mean? So,
right.
You know, that would all sort of flow into why all the speech therapists I know who stutter are still involved in therapy.
Yeah. Well, it certainly makes sense because, it would just seem to me that would, not that one wouldn't be, but that would just like allow you to like always be working on it and always be thinking about various different approaches that you use that help yourself that might also mm-hmm. be able to help another person.
Mm-hmm. Well, one other thing I work on actively as a therapist that's kind of developing myself clinically, is to think outside the box and to think, yes, these work for me, but I'm me, and my client is my client, and they may need something different than I do. So things that may work for me may not work for them. I need to know about the field in general and be just overall more knowledgeable of various techniques and things like that, because what may be good for me may not be good for them, or vice versa.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, that makes a lot of sense. So, how do you figure out, like, obviously one size doesn't fit all. So, like, how do you find what might work for different people?
Well, basically the same way that I find what will work for different people for whatever disorder I was treating. I treat children who have autism. I treat children who have speech delays, who have articulation disorders. So, I mean, one of the things you learn in school and just as you're just being a young therapist is to kind of listen to your client and determine what it is that they need at all. So the process overall is the same. It's almost like a mini scientific method type of approach to figuring out whatever your client needs, but that's across the board for any disorder at all.
Yeah. Have you ever run into somebody that you're working with, or the parent of somebody that you're working with that feels comfortable with you because you stutter?
Yeah, of course.
So, like, how do you deal with that?
Well, the first step is I always let them know if I feel like my fluency, see, there goes that word again. If I feel like my stuttering or the way I communicate would impact your child or your family member's therapy negatively, I wouldn't have signed up for this. Okay? So if you wanted to sit in on a therapy session and see the way it goes, and then you can see for yourself. Okay.
Wow.
Basically, sometimes, yeah, so that's always the my first route is to always just invite them into the therapy session. Once I get them in there and they see that everything's, fine, whatever, then I open it up for whatever kind of questions or any kind of concerns or anything that they have, because it is valid. I don't
Yeah.
want to make it like I'm ignoring their concerns because they're valid concerns, especially if they say that they're valid, because they're the client and the family of. So that's always something I just need to respect, basically.
So do you always disclose it right from the get-go when you're meeting with a new client or family that you do stutter? Yeah.
Yeah,
And that.
absolutely. On the first day that I meet them.
Yeah. Wow, you sound like so confident and so comfortable with where you're at now. Has that always been, or has it have you had to work up to this level of being confident?
That absolutely has not always been, not at all. Yes, that's something I had to work at, and still do work at. Again, I have to actively think about, oh my gosh, why am I freaking out right now? Am I freaking out because I feel like they don't like me as a therapist because I stutter, or I feel like they don't like me because of another reason, or am I thinking that they don't like me for no reason and they really like me? You know what I mean? I have to sit and think about these issues. But yeah, it's something I certainly had to work up to often. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that because, like, I've always wondered, like, you know, because I know a couple, I know a couple of therapists who stutter, and I've always wondered, like, what went through their head, like, you know, do you really worry about that? Do you really, like, feel self-conscious, you know, about it? And, you know, is the best approach to just be open about it if you can?
Yes. Yes. That is truly the best approach. To me, I feel like, because it would be better for you to say, you know, I stutter and I'm a therapist. I stutter. One of the things that brought me to the field is the fact that I was a client first, before becoming a therapist. Versus not saying anything, and then they're wondering, oh my gosh, what is up? And we already know because of some of the reactions that we get, like, you know, slow down, take a breath, think about what you're gonna say. That in general, the public doesn't know as much about stuttering maybe as they should, or as much as a person who stutters would know.
Yeah.
So you only think about, if you didn't tell them that you stuttered, and what they could be thinking about. They could be thinking about anything. Is she okay? Is she having seizures? Is she, you know what I mean? Like, they could be thinking anything. And you don't want to leave it up to them thinking anything, because you want them focusing in on what it is you have to say, because right. It's important.
Right, right, right. And you don't want to allow their imaginations to go wild and for yeah. more problems to be created. Do you think that grad school was easier for you because you're a person who stutters, or?
No way.
Oh, what do you mean?
No way. No way. No, no, no. Not at all. No, it was not at all. No, it wasn't. I was going, I was going through a lot of, you know, of various thoughts and feelings and things like that. Like, is this really something I can do? At that time, of course, in grad school, you're kind of learning to do something as you do it. You sometimes have to learn by messing it up first. And I had never been in a situation like that before. That can be very anxiety-producing when you think, and you're working with live people.
Yeah.
And you're getting consistent feedback about every facet of life. Okay. So if you think about someone who used to be covert, was in the process of getting their life together, just in general, something new for the first time, while sometimes messing it up, and always getting feedback. If you can think about how like anxious of a person that would be, obviously that's me, of course. I was definitely that person, and I found grad school to be very, very, very difficult. just a little bit about me in general as just a person or whatever. I'm not one of those people that always has it together. You know what I mean? It's like you meet people that make lists, things like that. I make lists. My lists are everywhere. I write lists on the back of coupons that I then use and that I can't find. I write them on the back of receipts. You see what I'm saying? So yeah. It's like I'm not exactly one of those people that always just has everything together. So I found grad school to be quite a challenge. I'm also very sensitive to feedback in general. Any form of criticism, and especially it's something I'm learning to do for the first time. So I've experienced a lot of struggle in my speech, a lot more than you can hear today, and this is pretty struggle for me, actually.
Well, you sound great.
Oh, thank you. I can tell you've done this before, apparently. But you see what I'm saying? So I had a whole lot of struggle. I was always nervous, basically trying to get myself together, things like that. I found grad school to be very, very hard. I actually took a little bit of time off in the middle of grad school, but I came back and finished successfully.
And that must have been such a proud moment.
Yes. I was very proud of myself for finishing. Again, I didn't finish at number one. I also didn't finish at last place either, but I finished. So, again, it goes into just the basket of things you learn about yourself. Yes, I'm me. I stutter. I don't always have things together, but I will finish something that I go out to get. And at the end, I will not lose. You know what I mean? I will come out on top. It may take me a little longer than others, but I will finish. You know what I mean?
But it seems to me like if the road is always paved with gold, then maybe you don't learn as much, and maybe you're able to give so much more to your clients because you didn't have it easy.
Right.
Right? Maybe?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All those times I met adversity, I met with a variety of people, including faculty members, and things like that. Most of which were very, very supportive of me and always let me know I could do it. I just needed to work harder than everyone else. And they were very honest with me about that it would be hard, but I could do it. I met with some that I really didn't think they thought I couldn't do it.
And was it because of your stuttering?
Yeah, yes, specifically. And that's the thing, is all that did was prepare me for when I got out into the real world. I met with people also that I think they think I couldn't do it because of my fluency, because of stuttering.
Because of stuttering.
And I said, you know what? I've met this before. I've dealt with this before. Okay? So that's why when... Every once in a while, let me see, I've probably seen maybe about 150 families where I work now. I've had one family to come out openly and say, we're concerned with your stuttering, openly, and to say that out loud, and for me to address and say, really? Come into the session and see for yourself. Mm-hmm. And to kind of handle it very assertively and very confidently, because it's something I met before, and I knew to help that child out of any other child. I knew that child particularly I could help, and I did help that child a lot, and now I'm one of the family's favorites. And baby cards and baby gifts, you know what I mean? It's wonderful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, Yeah, it's because I met with a couple of those people before that thought, you know what, maybe this may not be for her. This may not be for you, Darlene. You know what I mean? After a while, you sort of get used to it and say, you know what, at this point, I've seen hundreds of kids and helped hundreds of kids, and I can do this job. I can do it. So for you to say, I don't think you can do it, is false.
Mm.
And no one's afraid.
And that just seems like you're in such a position to, you know, positively model for, you know, young people and your clients and families that are, you know, struggling to come to terms with stuttering, kind of like your own family did. It almost kind of sounds like you've come full circle in a really good way, and that's great to hear.
Oh, yeah. Now, great.
Yeah, did I also hear you mention that this particular client family has been bringing you baby gifts and stuff too?
I mean, of course that isn't related to therapy, but yeah, sometimes I get gifts. Like if I'm working with a family that had a boy but thought they were going to have a girl or something like that, so they just have girl clothes around the house or I don't know, got a girl gift by mistake and things like that. They'll bring it in for me because I'm actually 7 months pregnant right now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm waddling around work trying to fix as many speech issues as I can.
Oh, my goodness.
Right now.
Yeah. Well, listen, that brings up an interesting question in my mind, and then we'll probably need to wind down. But is this
okay?
Is this your first child?
Yes, it's my first one.
Do you ever find yourself worrying that your child is going to stutter?
I do worry because I just want my child to have everything better than I did, and for the most part, I look back at my life and think of it as being very, very positive, and I was overall very, very blessed with a great family, great friends, and things like that. But I think there's also just an instinct inside of you that you just want all that you had plus more. You know what I mean? So, of course, I would rather that my child have a different way to, you know, find out their strengths and weaknesses, to find out what she is good at, what she's not good at, find out different ways she can stand up for herself, other than stuttering, of course, because it's not exactly the best thing to live with. It's not the worst either. So,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if she does stutter, then she stutters, and she is a speech therapist mom. I mean, how, that's already good. That's already better luck than I had already starting out, you know what I mean?
Oh my God! What? Yeah, exactly. I mean, what better parent could that child have if that happens?
Yeah, but again, I work with all kinds of kids, and I see kids with all kinds of issues. So I have that fear of my child having all kinds of things. You know, there's only so much you can see on an ultrasound, on a sonogram,
yeah,
picture. Never. So, if she stutters all in all, okay, then she stutters. Will I say, hooray, she stutters? Absolutely not. I will not. I would prefer she didn't stutter, of course, because, again, I want my child to have a perfect life, of course.
Yeah.
Ideally, in my mind, I know that it won't be perfect for her, but I want her to have her own set of ways to find out about herself. Stuttering just happened to be my vehicle in which I found out a lot of different things about myself and found my career path. Okay, so it worked out that way for me. you know, but as a mom, I think, anyway, this is just my guess because I'm not really fully a mom yet. I guess you always just want the absolute best for your child. If that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like, you know, whatever life holds for her, she's going to be so loved. So it really wouldn't matter whatever challenges she might face, because you're ready to deal with them all.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, this has
and
been...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I cut you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just always, you know, just thinking about it, I always try to just stay positive. And I can't wait to meet her, just to see what she's like anyway.
Oh, it sounds so exciting, your first.
It's always so exciting.
Yeah.
It's so, this is just a sidebar, but I almost wanted to start making a list of some of the things, some of the listener reactions I've got from stuttering,
mm-hmm.
and some of the bystander reactions I've gotten from being pregnant. It's like some of the things people say to you when you stutter, and you're like, oh my God, that is not helpful. You get the same set of stuff when you're pregnant.
Oh, God.
Complete strangers. It's so funny. I almost want to put them on a chart together and just I might blog about it and send it to you, but it's just so funny.
Wow. Well, have you guys picked out a name for her yet?
No. We have about maybe 9 names that we really, really love.
9?
And we
that's a lot.
we figure when we meet her, we're going to put 3 or 4 of them together.
Okay.
Have a wonderful name.
Oh, that is
Ooh,
so,
meter.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely have to catch up when you do meet her, and I would love to see a picture when she arrives. And
Oh, sure.
I just wish you all the best of luck, and I'm so happy that you shared your story with us. You really touched on some real honest stuff, and I know you're gonna inspire a lot of listeners. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.